Gutsy!
Orde in de zaal.
Kijk,
hij begint met de grapjes en dan gaat hij ook zeggen dat we orde moeten houden. This morning we did the Simchat Torah, and we did the Sukkot and Simchat Torah. And now we need to talk a little bit, first of all, about the melodies, of the seasonal melodies, and where they come from, and what do they mean. As I mentioned, there is a melody, and you know it actually, a melody for every holiday, which is a symbol of the holiday. Now this was very, very important, especially in the Central European Ashkenazi Jewry, and sometimes less so in the Eastern European. In the Central European, that means the German tradition actually, it was very, very important that order should be. That means that every holiday should not have its own nusach, but should have a kind of a melody that represents the holiday. Now, of course, in all Jewish traditions, every holiday has its nusach. And that nusach is different from other holidays. Of course, there are groups of holidays, like the Shalosh Regalim, the three festivals, have one kind of a nusach, and the high holidays, the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, have a different kind of nusach. And there are things which are common between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there are things which are common between Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. That is common in all the... But an idea that you have one melody that will be the essence of the entire prayer, or the entire season actually, is a idea that started in Germany and went with it to all the Ashkenazi communities that spread out of Germany. Well, the first great communities were on the Rhine River, like in Mainz, in Worms, Regensburg, Speyer, and from there this tradition spread out. And the melodies that were selected are very interesting. Why they were selected? Why these melodies and these melodies and not any others? The melodies that were selected are parts of prayers which have some significance for this holiday. So we talked about the Sukkot melody. And the Sukkot melody has to do with the shaking of the lulav and the melody is called in various traditions either Shikel Hodu or Shokel Hodu. That you move the lulav in that way. Now, what about the Pesach and Shavuot melodies? So, if we see the Pesach melody is taken from which place?
Adihu.
Adihu, Adihu, Yivne Beito Vekaro, Bimera, Bimera. Okay, now, why that melody? Why not any other melody? I mean, you have many melodies that symbolize Pesach, like, for instance, why not Manishtana melody? or why not Echad Mi Yodea? Why this particular one? Why from the Agadah anyway? This has something to do, and we discussed it, David and myself, has something to do with the way that the Agadah is structured, and I think you will hear more about that from David. But basically, and you already entered that yesterday, the Haggadah goes from slavery to redemption, that means historical redemption, the redemption from Egypt, and then into the ultimate redemption, that means the coming of the Messiah, or Messianic era for Reform Jewry. Now the coming of the Messiah, the rebuilding of Israel, the rebuilding of the temple according to the traditional way of thinking about that, was symbolized in Adirhu. Adirhu, the words say, Adirhu, and gives all sorts of titles to God, He is mighty, etc., Lord is mighty, Yivne Beito Bekarov, He will build His temple very soon. And that was very, very, very important, because that means the last redemption. And that, in the Haggadot, the old Haggadot until the 16th century, the late 16th century, was the last song of the Haggadah. Later came in Echad Mi Yodea and Echad Gadya. Much later addition to the Haggadah. But the Haggadah finished, the Seder finished with Adirhu, Yivne Beito Bekarov, as a symbol of the ultimate redemption. And so Pesach was understood to be the time of redemption in the future. And this is according to the Talmudic statement, Benisan Nigalu. The people were redeemed in the month of Nisan. Ubenisan Yigaalu, and they will be redeemed in the month of Nisan. So that is a very powerful symbol. In addition to that, there was another thing, and that is that people used to sing the Adirhu in German translation. In a German, Yiddishized German translation. Does anybody know that song? I'm remiss. I wanted to bring it to you, and I forgot to bring it to you. But I will record the German version, and I will send it to you. The German version ends with the word Shira, or Shiro actually. Bow thy temple Shiro. Bow thy temple Shiro. And Shiro, the word Shiro is Old German for soon.
As mentioned, if you look into some of the Haggadot, it says El Baulit. El Baulit.
What does it mean? Sorry, I understood. Shiro means
your song.
No, just
no, in German.
Shiro in Old German, Shir. S-C-H-I-E-R.
Yes.
Shir. Shir means soon in Old German. It still has this kind of meaning. It is almost, you know, when they say Shir, is almost. It means immediately, in a minute. In almost, that would happen. So Shir in Old German was very soon.
Shir.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So, Bau dein Temple Shiro, now for the Jews, Shiro also meant song. That's where, yeah. And because of that, this song Adiyahu, which is related to the redemption, and also to the essence of singing for the building of the temple, was very important. It was so important that they, in German communities, when you go, when went out of the synagogue in on Pesach night, the blessing, I mean the greeting that we greet them, was Bau gut.
That's the Horror Dorm song.
Yeah?
Bau gut. Yeah,
that's it. They still say it?
They still say it. What's up, yeah.
Yeah?
May I say that you come in favor for the savings? Bau gut. It's a greeting.
Yeah, very interesting. So that comes from that tradition. And so you can understand now how important that song was. And because of this, of its importance, it became the leitmotiv of the... and we have it in early manuscripts of the Haggadot, already from the late 17th century manuscript, in a version which is not exactly the way we sing it today. But it has the same, most of the motives are there, but it's somehow different. There were some Haggadot that were printed with music in the late 17th century. It was a melody. And the melody was this. So it already was considered very, very important. From a structural point of view, this is not a medieval melody, but it comes a little bit later. Comes from late Renaissance or early Baroque. We do not know exactly when, but it became a kind of, since then it became a symbol of the Pesach. So when do you use it? You use it for Micha Mocha, but for Micha Mocha it was used since the 19th century, not earlier, because I don't remember if we discussed that in. Orthodox tradition, you're not allowed to sing Micha Mocha. You're allowed to sing Malchutcha, Ra'u Banecha, and you're allowed to sing anything before the Micha Mocha. But when it comes to Micha Mocha, you're supposed to pray it in a simple way, never sing it to a melody. And the reason for that is that it is related to Az Yashir Moshe. It is taken from the Song of the Sea. And the Song of the Sea begins with Az, then. Yashir Moshe can be understood as in a future tense. Yashir, he will sing. What do you mean? Then, at that time, Moses will sing? It's a biblical past, and I don't want to go into that, but for the rabbis, it meant that Moses will sing then. That means in a time of redemption, Moses will sing that. And then everybody will sing this song of Micha Mocha, which Micha Mocha is the essence of the...
It's an important point. At every Orthodox funeral is recited as one of the first proof texts of the Tchiyat HaMetim, the people would arise at the grace at the time of the Mashiach, because then they would sing. So you have, they had to find in Torah and the prophets texts that prove that there is life after death. You know, and this is the way they constructed it. So it, in that sense, the tradition is a very important text, and the future tense is also very important.
It has nothing to do with it. All that's matter, if you have to find somehow the proof text that the Torah talks about Tchiyat HaMetim, this is the only place you can find where you have a grammatical construction that can be bent to prove that. The rest of the context is totally unimportant, take it away. This is the important point, and that's what comes out in this argument.
Because of that, people refrained from singing Micha Mocha. When did Micha Mocha also in the Sephardic movement, in Sephardic Jews sing, they make a big fuss over Ra'u Vanim Gevurato. If you go to a big Sephardi synagogue, you can hear great music on Ra'u Vanim Gevurato, Shikhu Vodu Lishmo, Umalchuto Beraton Kiblu Aleem, Moshe Bnei Israel, Lecha Anu Shira, Besimcha Rabba.
Then
no michamocha. So michamocha in that motive began to be sung after the influence of the reform movement in the 19th century. First it was sung by the reform synagogue. It was one of the seminal texts of reform movement. Michamocha, like Shema Israel, etc., was sometimes the only text that was sung in Hebrew. It became very important. And from there, don't tell it to anybody, but the Orthodox, modern Orthodox, Orthodoxy took it and they started singing Michamocha in the services. Still, the very Orthodox will never touch it and never do that kind of horrible thing. So you don't have the motive this for Micha Mocha. When do you have it? People used to sing the Hodu and Anna for the Hallel, and sometimes other parts of the Hallel to this melody. Like Hallelu et Adonai Kol Goyim, before the Hodu Adonai Kitov. No, in the Bracha, no. In the Bracha, it was a later kind of thing. But in early times, they did it in Hodu and Anna. That was, and some other parts that the congregation could somehow join in with the Chazal. It was also part of the Rosh Chodesh Benson, which we discussed already, that people inserted that in the either Yechad Shehu at the end, or Misha Asanisim, and especially Misha Asanisim was significant because Misha Asanisim Laavoteinu, the one God who made miracles go for forefathers, and of course the Exodus from Egypt is considered a very important symbol from that point of view. So Misha Asanisim. That was part of the usage. Also, it served for everybody to remind people that the month of Nisan is approaching. You better prepare for Pesach. So it was also a signal to the congregation. Please understand, time is short, and you have to clean your houses, etc., and do everything for Pesach. So that was very important. We did not have the same kind of practice for Sukkot. Why? Why couldn't we have the same practice in Sukkot?
Because of all the
and
we
do not announce the month of Tishrei.
Yeah.
There's no Rosh Chodesh Benchem before the month of Tishrei. It's the only month in the calendar that doesn't have that. And Sukkot is of course part of the Tishrei month. So you couldn't announce the month of Tishrei by doing that. As a matter of fact, the month of Tishrei is announced when you announce the month of Elul. So when you announce the month of Elul, people use motifs from the Slichot. From the Slichot of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it varies in different communities, and they intertwine these motifs into the Birkat HaChodesh, so that people understand that now is time for repentance, now is time for returning Teshuvah.
shofar tibar.
Yeah, and shofar, of course, the shofar is sound in during the month of Elul, which is also a very powerful symbol of the approach of Rosh Hashanah. So you cannot announce Sukkot. Now you do announce Shavuot.
We do announce Sukkot at the end of Nila, in the last day Kaddish,
right.
Which goes on Sukkot Kaddish.
Yeah.
So
this is about the use of audio in Pesach, and I must say that we in Jerusalem have the minhag that in the synagogue, the college at least, instead of Adon Olam at the end of the service on Shabbat HaGadol, Shabbat before Pesach, we sing Ad Yehu. As also a way to announce the coming of Pesach.
But we also have the habit to sing Adon Olam at the melody of the heart. Is that wrong? Or?
No, it's not wrong. There's nothing wrong. It's also a way of reminding them. But we decided long ago that we want to have this particular hymn to an entire season of Pesach. So what we do, we start in Shabbat HaGadol, and sing Ad Yehu then. Then on all the services of Pesach, we sing Ad Yehu.
Yeah.
Instead of Adon Olam.
I just want to point out also at the beginning of the Seder, community Seder, which is what we do in most of the month, when people come and they sit down, I always start by singing the first part of Ad Yehu, before anything else. Because within seconds, you're in the right mood. Everybody's there, and then you can start to say it, but you have to already.
Yeah.
In the month, they also say, instead of Adon Olam, Adon, but in English,
God is mine. God of might. Yeah. It's a very very interesting translation from the 19th century. God of might is based on the German. German translation, and it's very interesting, has very interesting ideas there. I don't know if you've ever seen the Reform movement in Holland sang an audio in Dutch. No.
Never heard. But it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
There's an assignment for somebody.
Why not? You ever heard of audio being sung in Dutch?
Okay, so these are the usages of the motives of Ad Yehu, and now we go to Shavuot. Shavuot has this. The end is a bit different in some communities, but this is basically what the melody is, and it comes from Akdamut.
From what?
Akdamut. Now again, we're awaiting a talk of David's talk about Akdamut. He prepared a piece of paper, and I don't want to elaborate.
I'll send it to you, put something on the net. It's a special poem. You tell them this.
Okay. Agdamut is a poem which was written in Mainz in the in medieval time. It's a very long poem. It has in acrostics the name of the poet, somehow it eludes me now, it will come back, I'm sorry. And it has an entire alphabet, 22 letters, with the words in Aramaic. The entire poem is Aramaic, very difficult Aramaic.
אקדמות מילין ושאר הישותה אבלה שקילנה הרמן ורשותה. And it has all the entire enormous poem, a very long one, ending with a rhyming taf aleph. Well, of course, it is also symbolic, the last word and the first word of the alphabet, etc. I don't want to go into all the symbols of this akdamot. He talks about the Torah, the giving of the Torah, and then the merits of those who study the Torah, and it ends with the end of days when all those people will be very happy in the times of Messiah, and they will partake in the great feast with the Shor Habar and Leviathan. Shor Habar is the great ox that everybody will eat, except the vegetarians, I suppose, on the days to come, and the Leviathan, the great fish. The text is really, if you understand it, is very, very beautiful. But it is very, very difficult from a linguistic point of view. People do not understand it, mostly. And therefore, in the Reform movement, from the beginning, they started to shorten it or to take it out altogether of the service. Now, I don't know what the practice here...
Which is fine. They try and others don't know what it is, never heard of it.
When was it restarted? Okay.
Do you want to elaborate?
Okay. Originally, it was recited after the during the first Aliyah to the Torah. After the first verse, immediately after the first verse. So the order of things was
on Shavuot. I spoke to her this morning. I mentioned it.
Yeah.
The Kohen is called up. Bracha first, pasuk, and then let's stop it and then together. You'll hear why in a moment.
Okay. So the first verse of the reading for Shavuot goes בחודש השביעי לצאת בני ישראל מארץ מצרים ביום הזה באו מדבר סיני. In other words, it is declares that the month of Sivan, the third month, on that day, that means the first of the month of Sivan, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai. They came close to the Mount Sinai. And the entire Torah reading talks about the theophany of Mount Sinai, etc., etc. But you stop after that, by Yom HaZeh Ba'u Midbar Sinai, and then all of a sudden you have this long, long poem. It takes about 20 minutes to read. And then to chant. Actually, it's always chanted. And then, it suddenly, well, what is this business? And of course, there were many, many problems with this poem, and lots of disputes about whether you should do it, and what kind of minhag is that. In Israel now, they refrain from doing it this way. You read the Akdamut before the first Aliyah, to the Torah, or you call up the Kohen who comes up over the first, and then after calling up the Kohen, before the Kohen says the blessings, you read the entire poem, because it's a big pause in the entire reading. But it turns out that the reason why it was done is that in early medieval times it was a practice to read a verse and a translation into Aramaic. Every portion of the Torah was read first in Hebrew, then in translation. So if you got an aliyah, you would read the first verse. After that, somebody else, a meturgeman, a translator, would translate into Aramaic. The Torah into Aramaic, into the Targum. Targum Onkelos, or another Targum. I'm sorry. Targum and translation.
Official translation. Both the official translations are two Targum, which you often find together with the Hebrew text.
But it's like a translation into
Aramaic with a commentary built in. How to understand the text properly.
So it's translated into Aramaic, and could you mention the word again?
Yeah. This is still the practice in the Yemenite...
Let's again.
In the Yemenite communities, it is still this practice. That you're called up to the Torah. Usually the one who is called up to the Torah also reads the Torah. And he reads a verse. And when he finishes a verse, then in a congregation, a boy, usually a boy, reads from the Onkelos translation, Aramaic translation. Now this practice goes on in spite of the fact that people understand more Hebrew than Aramaic. They understand much less Aramaic. So it was originally was the idea of getting people to understand. Like if you translate your verse and translate it into Dutch for the Dutch Jewry.
It actually goes back to Ezra. Read public the first time, and the relief was sitting next to him, translating for people who didn't have the
Hebrew. Yeah, that was a common practice, and it remains only in the Yemenite synagogue. Now, the Aramaic translation is not understood, but it is a custom that you cannot change. So, everybody says the translation without understanding the translation, the purpose of it, the practical purpose of it is out, but maybe there is a kind of a mystical purpose that they pursue, and it's a mitzvah like that, you cannot change it, and that's it. And that was the situation in the German synagogues in early medieval times. And in the medieval times, this poem, served as a big preface for the translation into Aramaic of the Torah. It was a glorification of that kind of translation into Aramaic. In the meanwhile, in German, and we're talking about the usual practice, that means orthodoxy, they somehow forgot this practice. And we don't hear about it anymore. We don't hear it from very early times. But what remained is this poem. The translation is gone.
That's why you read the one verse and then you get the poem. So then, where the translation will come up.
And nowadays in the Orthodox synagogues they do it before the first aliyah.
In the Orthodox becoming stricter and stricter and stricter, and there is a halachic problem where you should or should not read it. In the middle of an aliyah, that is a hefsek, and you cannot do that. That's a pause in the between of the reading, and so there was a big quarrels about that. And David prepared a paper about one of these quarrels in Italy in the 18th century. The Italians loved to quarrel about these things. They all the Italian Jews were wonderful about these things.
What is the source that in Germany it was done to medieval times?
Oh, we have it, we understand it from the way manuscripts were set with translations. And I don't know exactly where I can refer you to a particular source right now, but if I go home I can write to you where this comes from, where we know about it. And but in any case, it is clear that the only thing that remains is that poem. Nothing remained of the translation. But the poem still exists, and you cannot change a minhag like that. Although it takes a long time into the service, and it also does what is considered a terrible thing, and that is מעכב את קריאת התורה. That means it postpones the Torah reading. That is considered a bad habit. In spite of that, second. All right, so why do I bring all this story? Because of a melody. There are two melodies to Akdamut. One is a psalmodic melody, which goes like this. Akdamut milin v'shara yeshuta av l'shakela armanu shuta בבאבי ותרי ותלת די יפתח בנקשותה בבאבי ותארי עדי עד לקשישותה יבור הנלל מלא ולספק חורשתה etc. It goes on and on like that. תררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררררר
da 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 and it continues for the entire poem like this. So this is a motive which is also was considered a seasonal motive, and perhaps this was the seasonal motive until the 18th century. It is still the motive for Shavuot in the Eastern Ashkenazi synagogues, that means in Russia and Poland and so on. However, something happened in the 18th century. We do not know exactly when, we do not have sources exactly, but the melody itself, the type of melody, looks like either late 17th century or 18th century, and people started singing Akedamut Minin Veshara Yashuta Arasha Kela Manusota Arasha Kela Manusota. And then the melody was repeated again, and this became the staple melody for Shavuot.
And
now, what happened was that in the Reform movement, Akdamut was taken out and the melody remained. Where did melody remain? In Micha Mocha. Some sing it also in Hodu and Anna.
Standard
melody. I mean, if
it's a melody, when you hear
right.
it, you know it's
a. Yeah. Some call these melodies leitmotifs. I don't like this. The leitmotif has something to do with a different concept by Wagner, and I don't. It doesn't work very well with this kind of. So, the Akdamut itself is gone in a Reform movement. The only thing that remains is using the Akdamut melody in various places in the service. Now, how do you use this melody?
Oh,
look at that.
And the Anas and the Hodis. And in the Rosh Chodesh pension, like the morning.
Okay. Now, here is the old melody. Odu l'Adonai ki to ki le'olam chazdo. Do you use this melody?
Yes.
Yeah, we have used it.
It was brought here by every tract.
Okay, so every tract came from the Eastern European tradition.
Yes.
And he brought it from the Eastern synagogue. From the Eastern
Synagogue.
And here is Ana Adonai in the same way. Ana Adonai Hoshiana, Ana Adonai Hoshiana, Ana Adonai Hoshiana, Adonai Hoshiana, Ana Adonai. The same Atzlichana, Ana Adonai Atzlichana. And then he hands. Okay, because you have to be tonal in this is the melody is not in
It's not A major.
It's like the other chord and protest.
Yeah. So again, Odula Donai Kitov, Ki Olam Chasdo, with the same melody. So Avery Tracht brought it back from the Eastern European tradition. So it may have been the case that in earlier times this was sung here, that means in Central Europe, with this melody.
That's one of the things that we were fighting with Avery about.
Okay. So I don't want to go into
like
these details. These details about what was going on in the synagogue while every tract was here. I don't want to go into these details. But what I want to go into is that indeed you still use this melody, but somewhere else. Can you remember where you use this melody? I can't remember that. I am surprised.
Sounds like
I don't know. Are we in television kind of?
Yeah.
Sounds like yeah. But I must ask. Especially Petra about that. You're working, but yesterday you sang it. You did sing it. You are guilty of singing it yesterday. Exactly. Asher bachar banu mikolam. ורוממנו מכל לשון וקראתנו במצוותם.
It's a kiddush composed with motifs of Agamot.
Yeah, but it's done in all the kiddushim of the Shalosh Regalim, regardless of the
Shalosh Regalim.
Oh, it's done on Pesach, on Shavuot and Sukkot, and in some places also on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, it is not done on Yom Kippur.
And we have the Rosh Hashanah also.
And so it was transferred from Shavuot to the Kiddush. Where else is it chanted? I do not know if you do that, but you have the calling up of the important people to the Aliyot on Simchat Torah. You have Chatan Torah and Chatan Bereshit. Chatan Torah is the one who is called up for the last Aliyah of the Torah. And then immediately after that, you call up Chatan Bereshit to begin the Torah again. Right? And as you call the Chatan Torah, there is a long formula for calling up Chatan Torah. Now, do we have the formula here?
Yes, I gave you the papers yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah. They're in the list of the papers I gave you yesterday.
Over there.
Now, what David did with this formula, it is a very long, very, very long. It's called Reshut Lechatan Torah.
Yeah.
Reshut Lechatan Torah.
Do you want to go and get them?
No,
they're not in the book standard. You want to go and get them? You have it, but the others have them.
Seems as the people have it.
You have it? Yes.
Yes, it's in a thing.
Yeah, not the music, but only the
text. We will have the music in time.
The way you do it, you use this melody of the old melody of Akdamut, and you sing this is actually a poem
It is rhymed on a ra, reish hay, מרשות האל הגדול גיבור והנורא, אבטח פי, וברשות מפז יקרה, אבטח פי בשירה ובזמרה, להודות להלל לדר בן הורה, שהחיינו וקיימנו בירתו הטהורה. Why all these ra, 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 ra things? Not ra, ra, reish ein, which is bad, but ra at the end of Torah. So שמחת תורה. והגיענו לשמוח בשמחת תורה. So because of that, you have a long poem, and the original poem is much, much longer than what you have here, which is to call up Chatan Torah. And you do it as follows, and I'm doing the text that David edited. Mershut ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibol ve'anorah, ומרשות מפז ומפנינים יקרה אפתח פי בשירה ובזמרה להודות ולהלל לדר בן הורה שהחיינו וקיימנו בירתו הטהורה והגיענו לשמוח בשמחת התורה המשמחת לב ועיניים מאירה הנותנת חיים ואושר וכבוד ותפארה המאשרת הולכיה בדרך הטובה והישרה המערכת ימים ומוסיף מוספת גבורה לאוהביה ולשומריה בציווי והזהרה לעוסקיה ולנוצריה באהבה ובמורה ובכן יהי רצון מלפני הגבורה לתת חיים וחסד ונזר ועטרה ליצחק בן אברהם ושרה הנבחר להשלים התורה עמוד 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 יצחק בן אברהם ושרה חתן התורה ותן כבוד לאל גדול ונורא and sometimes you add ובשכר זה תזכה מאל נורא לראות בנים ובני בנים עוסקים בתורה יעמוד יצחק בן אברהם ושרה חתן התורה okay now
you have this one
in the spirit of just a minute in the spirit of liberal thinking, David decided that we also have a Kalat Torah, the possibility of Kalat Torah. Therefore, he changed the end so that it would be שרה בת יצחק ואברהם הנבחרת להשלים התורה עמדי 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 שרה בת אברהם ויצחק קלת התורה ותני כבוד לאל גדול ונורא בשכר זה תזכי מאל נורא לראות בנים ובני בנים עוסקים בתורה תעמוד שרה בת יצחק בת אברהם ויצחק קלת התורה So the same thing goes for Chatan Bereshit again what you have here is the text that David edited first of all he shortened it and then he inserted some ideas which are more in line with modern ideas of the reform movement and Jewry in general and so what we have is the following Mereshut meromam al kol beracha veshira Nora al kol tehila vezimra Chacham leivav veamitz koach ugvura ומושל עולם אדון כל יצירה ומרשות כבודה בת מלך בתנימה עצורה בראת אמימה משיבת נפש ומחזירה ומרשות חבורת צדק עדה מאושרה קבוצים פה היום לשמחת תורה ונעצרים לסיים ולאחל בגיל ומורה ובכן נסכמתי דעת כולם לבררה בחור הרימותי מעם תוך החבורה מצטיב לב נכון להסבירה צדק וחסד רודף באולך ישרה ונשאו ליבו ונדבה רוחו להתעוררה תחילה וראשון היות להתחיל התורה יען נעשה את הראשון למצווה גמורה ברא טובך ומשכורתך יתרה עמוד 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 יצחק בן אברהם ושרה חתן בראשית ברא מרשות הקהל הקדוש הזה לברך אל גדול ונורא אמן יענו אחריך הכל מהרה יעמוד יצחק בן אברהם ושרה חתן בראשית ברא
So in the same way, you have the text for Kalat Torah, and it's the same melody. Now, if you do all this melody many, many times, and it's repeated again and again, you can try to insert some variation in it. So you'll do it, for instance, if we go back to Chatan Torah, מרשות האל הגדול והנורא ומרשות מפז ומפנינים יקרה אפתח פי בשירה ובזמרה להודות ולהלל לדר בנורא שחיינו וקימנו בירתו התורה והגיענו לשמוח בשמחת התורה המשמחת לב ועיניים מהירה הנותנת חיים ואושר וכבוד ותפארה המאשרת הולכיה בדרך הטובה והישרה המערכת ימים ומוסיף צפת גבורה etc. So you can do some variations on that melody in order to relieve the tediousness of repetition. So this melody of Akdamut is still with us, but in a disguise. It's in this, in Rashut L'Chatan Torah, Rishut L'Chatan Bereshit, it is in a Kiddush. But on Shavuot, what you do is you sing the other melody of Akdamut. This became so seasonal that in some congregations, especially in the United States, for a while, I don't know if it's still like that, it became also the main melody for confirmation. Because confirmation was done on Shavuot, or during the season of the Shavuot, you know, on the holiday week.
Because of the receiving of the Torah.
Receiving of the Torah. And of course, because it's seasonal too, it was somewhat connected with these two ideas. Yeah. So,
anybody here been confirmed? Confirmation? I am. We still did it this week. Age 16.
Yeah. I have associations with melodies outside of the Jewish world, perhaps composed by Eastern Ashkenazi people.
It's canon.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, but I doubt that it's that the most arranged of them. I really don't know. It seems that. That says that it's a very old melody, that it is not a tonal melody that you would think about during the development of tonality. We're talking about from the end of the Renaissance to it's much older. It's modal. It has modality. It's a very very. If it related anything in non-Jewish world, it's related to somehow to patterns that you can find in Gregorian chant.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me of the Gregorian chants of the Trumps.
Salmodian.
It's of course a little bit minor. Satonus Peregrinus.
Yeah, so good.
What about something else? What you said? Yiddish you sang yesterday, that is different from the tucker that Chaim sings on the CD, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a different one.
We have an art.
Yeah. Because then we need your...
I can't remember which one is, does it say.
The Kiddush that Chaim sings, the tucker.
Dat is een kiddush die wordt gezongen door Richard Tucker, een opera zanger.
In English, ja. Yeah.
Richard Tucker was een opera singer, but also a very accomplished cousin.
Yeah.
And
he sang this
melody. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, more
the
big orchestra.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how
does
it
continue? How does it continue? That's what's on the CD.
A little bit simpler.
Hello, hey, no, Melatala. I share to the shallow, it's what
it's a Shabbat Harbanu Nikolam.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, no, CD is
yours is much more. This is what I'm used to. Abraham had the Anglo-Saxon one, which is again different, but yours is more Shalosh Regalim than this one.
Yeah.
But I would like you to sing it later.
Yes, I know, I would like that.
Yes.
The record on which he sings it
but is called,
I beg your pardon, the Passover Seder Festival. Yeah. He is on the sleeve, and it's a musical.
The musical rendition of the Seder.
The music for yours, I think it's in the reconstruction of Canada. In the open door.
The open door is a reform one, but I have both here.
So
we can have it open. Yes. Mm-hmm. Is that the one the picture I sent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And quite in the same page.
Okay.
Where did you learn?
The only thing I was supposed to do
what?
And then I realized one day when I was holiday.
No, but people still do it on Shana.
Because the text is the text I have.
But you can't.
But you can't.
But you
can't.
But you can't. You can use the same Chagim Torah Shana. For Yom Kippur, you have a different use.
Oh my God. Why?
I'll tell you why.
Oh.
In California, I saw this Californian Jewish cookery book with recipes for Yom Kippur.
No kidding.
For going into Yom Kippur and for coming out of Yom Kippur. But when I first saw it, recipes for Yom Kippur. Oh, sure enough.
Anyway, you're already talking about that. Petra, one of the things that I was very impressed with the museum, the Jewish Museum in Amsterdam, was there is a series of videos that you can see. People are interviewed in the videos. And one of the interviews which impressed me very much was somebody who talks about Yom Kippur customs in Amsterdam before the war. It's fantastic. And what he says is the following. He comes from a merchant, and on Yom Kippur he describes, or he describes that, of course, all the shops were closed. And why were all the shops closed on Yom Kippur? Because all the merchants went to a restaurant to have a great feast, a great meal of Yom Kippur in the restaurant. And there is a description of that and how that was considered the greatest day of the year for them. All the Jewish merchants went there. I was very impressed. I don't know why I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed by the fact that the Jewish Museum did not censor it, and on the contrary, and showed it, and it's amazing kind of aspect of what is Yom Kippur for certain people in before the war.
The other one is a famous story also of a man who had nothing of being Jewish, but on Yom Kippur he always had a stomach ache and was in bed all day and couldn't even eat anything. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so how much time do we still have?
We're just finishing.
Okay. So on this happy note.
Yeah.
Quarter
to five.
So
we have
time for Mincha.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to go through with you through these seminal melodies, these important melodies, where they come from, when they are used, and how they are used during the service. Now there are going to be, and there are some recordings that you can already use, but we're going to have some more, I suppose. All things are recorded. And Petra, would you please record the Kiddush? And so we'll open it. Okay, until the next one.
Thank you.
I love Israel.
Can I keep it or you record it for me also?
Yoper,
can I keep it easy? Come on, you need it.
Don't worry.
Okay.
Okay.